And the reality is that I don't see a possibility of going away. And based on, well, if we talk about the trig at the end of the 90s and then the pandemic in the 2009, now hopefully not the H1N1 flu, we just see more diversification, more evolution. And we need to consider that, unlike PERS, for example, that it's not a segmented virus. Influenza is segmented, and it's also RNA. What does this mean? Is that because it's RNA, it doesn't have the proofreading that DNA has, so that can cause point mutation. And besides that, it has reassortment.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Through innovative solutions, cutting-edge research, and world-class experts, Boehringer Ingelheim helps producers operate with complete confidence. Learn more at bi-animalhealth.com. Ralco, proven science, practical results.
Welcome to the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest swine health research digested for you. My name is Dr. Clayton Johnson. I'm the host of the podcast. And joining me in our podcast studios for this week's episode is Dr. Joaquin Alvarez Norambuena. Dr. Alvarez Norambuena is a research assistant and PhD candidate at the University of Minnesota. And Joaquin, you and your team at Minnesota have for years done excellent work in the area of influenza, the virus's evolution, and the biosecurity requirements to try and help prevent infection. You're here today to talk to us about the latest and greatest information on those topics. So without further ado, why influenza? Why so important that we discuss this, and what makes influenza uniquely challenging for pig producers to manage?
Well, influenza itself, it's a really challenging virus. And as we were talking before this started the recording, influenza has been around since the dinosaurs. They are influenza-like illnesses that have been documented for a long, long time. And in swine, we started after the Spanish flu in 1918, and it came here to the farm to stay. And the reality is that I don't see a possibility of going away. And based on, well, if we talk about the trig at the end of the 90s and then the pandemic in the 2009, now hopefully not the H1N1 flu, we just see more diversification, more evolution. And we need to consider that, unlike PERS, for example, that it's not a segmented virus. Influenza is segmented, and it's also RNA. What does this mean? Is that because it's RNA, it doesn't have the proofreading that DNA has, so that can cause point mutation. And besides that, it has reassortment. What is reassortment itself? Is that it can exchange a complete genome segment or a complete segment. So when we have these reassortment events, we have a big, big evolution or distinction in evolution at the end of the day. So when we talk about PERS and all like viruses in general, we can talk, for example, about recombination. Recombination is a process where, for example, let's put the example if we are trying to have a deck of cards. If we exchange just one card from the deck and we put it in another one, we will have a difference. But this will be just recombination of the virus. If two viruses are like in the same cell and they both are replicated at the same time, that's what happens with PERS, for example. But when we have reassortment, as I was saying before, it's a complete segment. And so let's consider that all pandemic events in the past have been preceded by a reassortment event. So this caused a really big, big change in the virus. So when we talk about this, and in our farms, where we have biosecurity, we have different measures, we always try to think about what should we do to control this disease or to mitigate the impact of this disease. Even though sometimes when we have PERS around, for example, influenza, we can say that it's secondary in our priorities, because PERS is going to cause more mortality, it's going to cause more issues. But at the end of the day, when we talk about biosecurity itself, like if we are trying to control PERS, my secondary thing will be controlling influenza as well. Because we need to consider external biosecurity, internal biosecurity. What does this mean? Control animal introductions, having the correct quarantine, Like, let's consider that we have guilds and that they are incoming to our farms, and they are going to be exposed to different, like quasi-species of different viruses that they haven't been before. So they need to be stable before we introduce them to the whole herd. Right? Transport. We know that in this transport, we will find this possibility of moving some manure if the trucks, for example, are not completely clean. And this will be for other diseases that with the infection pressure will or could potentially also influence flu as well. We have all the personnel, the entry protocols that they need to do, for example, shower in, shower out, that it's been more socially accepted, we can say, by the people that work in the farms. But let's be real. If we go to a nursery or finisher, there's not always shower in, shower out. So if you have or you were exposed to flu and you have it in your coveralls, hands, etc., you can still be a fomite for this virus. And if we focus, we did a study a couple of years ago where we were trying to see which is hand sanitation protocols were more efficient in eliminating the virus. We noticed that the best was the use of, well, we tried four. Let's start from there. That is the starting. We did alcohol-based hand sanitizer. We did the use of gloves with this just water and water and soap, just a normal soap. Water and soap and water by itself, it didn't help to, we were still able to find traces of genetic material. We did PCR. We were not able to isolate the virus, but we did still find genetic material, which is telling us that it's potentially a source of having virus in your hands if you're doing those two. But when you were changing gloves and you were using the alcohol-based hand sanitizer, we were having better outcomes without finding, or just a few or one or two samples were positive through PCR. So what does this mean? That at the end of the day, if you're just washing your hands or just using water to wash your hands, you can still be a potential fomite. But that is not considering bacteria. So at the end of the day, you might need to wash your hands with soap and water, and then also use an alcohol-based sanitizer or use gloves or maybe all. The best it would be like if you do all that. You know, you're using gloves in the farm, you also wash your hands, and you make sure that you are as clean as you can when you go in, and as well when you go out, right? So that is one thing. And the other thing is that when we talk about the personnel itself, we also need to consider that sometimes, because you don't want to miss a day of work, you may be feeling a little bit down and you may have the flu. And there have been information of having back and forth transmission between swine and human, right? So there is a potential infection between the swine and people that have been exposed, and vice versa, people that go in the farms being positive to flu. And then we have an outbreak of flu in our farms from a human strain. In this case, for example, we also did another study where we tested different face coverings in a setting inside a farm where we were able to notice that, well, we did an N95 mask, number one protocol. We did a dust mask. Those ones that you can buy like everywhere, Home Depot or any kind of, one of those stores. And just the surgical mask, the one that everybody knows, and not using a mask. But what's interesting about that is that between the face mask, you consider that this is an N95, that it was not fit test, right? Because technically to be fully protected, you need to, or to fit that N95, you need to be tested so it fits your face. But we didn't do that. But either way, all the three methods that we were using or treatments that we were using with each face mask was yielded a reduction in the genetic material that we were taking from the nostrils of the workers. So that is already telling you something. And besides that, when we were testing the N95 mask, it was the best one of all those ones that we tested. So even though, like, if you have the possibility of have your personal using your face mask, that will already, like, decrease your potential risk to both ways. Have pigs exposed to flu from human source or humans have a flu from a swine source, right, in the farms. So those are two things that I want to point out in this case, because maybe it's something that we know in the back of our minds, but we don't actually put that, because using a face mask or washing your hands so many times, it's a challenge at the end of the day. So because every time that we talk about biosecurity, have a great plan, everything looks great, but we need to make sure that is actually done in the farm. So we need to try to decrease that threshold of how much things I be asking people to do and how many things people are actually doing. So if we can actually balance that as much as possible, that's great. At least if they are not going to do it, I hope that they have the possibility to tell me like, hey, I'm not going to do it because it's like, I don't feel good with this. And then we have other things, for example, like the feed supply. Like we need to see like where everything is coming from. We need to have traceability of the products that we're getting into the farm. And in other case, like as well as airborne biosecurity, like, are we actually having filtration in our farms? Is this a dense region? Like, what is going on? Like, what is my location perimeter control and all those kind of things? When we talk about flu at the end of the day, I think that there are many farms that they have reported that they have controlled and actually being free of flu. But to be honest, like I will always say that at some point they are going to have another outbreak. Just because it's just so hard to keep a completely flu negative place for such a long time. However, if you have a flu free place, at the end of the day, you will see the difference, because I think that flu to some extent is like a kind of assumed cost. Like people always know that they're going to be dealing with that, and you have PERS, and with PERS, I already said, like that's going to be your priority. But if you have an outbreak of another disease that is causing more mortality, that's going to be your priority. But flu is there or might be there, just like seasonally. So when you think about this and the possibility, if you can reduce that, you will already be reducing multiple things. You will have less antibiotics, less secondary infections, less, like you will be able to maybe see the full potential of your genetics. And at the end of the day, you will see the profitability or what is the impact of not having flu around. But I don't think that that's going to be sustainable forever.
Salmonella presents significant challenges to pig health and performance and poses food safety risks to humans. As the first and only vaccine offering live attenuated strains of both Salmonella cholera suis and Typhimurium, Enterasol Salmonella TC from Boehringer Ingelheim protects pigs against both serotypes with a single oral dose. Talk to your Boehringer Ingelheim representative to learn more.
I think to summarize Joaquin, influenza evolution is complicated, but it's also going to continue. It's going to be a part of our future with influenza. And biosecurity is not necessarily straightforward and easy for influenza, but it is important. And you need to have practical biosecurity protocols that, most importantly, to your point, people actually implement in the farm if you're going to be successful. I think those are wonderful take-home points for our audience to take to their farm and try to apply for influenza, but they certainly transfer other pathogens as well. And I really appreciate you coming on, Joaquin, and educating our audience on what all you guys are doing to support us with influenza knowledge.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to talk about influenza with you. And, well, if anybody wants to reach out or anything, I'm always open to talk and we can discuss about everything. So thank you.
We're lucky to have a nice big audience, Joaquin, and we couldn't do this sort of podcast if it wasn't for the folks tuning in. So for those of you listening, thank you very much for being a part of this. If you know somebody that's got influenza infection in their pigs, or you've had a chat with somebody about biosecurity recently, please share this message with them. Share Joaquin's information so that they can take that and apply that to their farm. For Swine Health Black Belt Podcast, my name is Dr. Clayton Johnson, and I want to thank Dr. Joaquin Alvarez-Norambuena again for joining us and delivering us some excellent information. To the audience, thank you for being a part of this, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.